Good morning. Thank you, choir. And it's so good to see such a full house here today. And I want to say thank you to whoever created this display down here. I think I might know who it is. Is that you, Miss Hyatt? Mm-hmm. Tula, did you make that? Yes, beautiful. Thank you. So we're all going to stand and sing hymn number 392, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Come, ye thankful people, come. Praise the song of God.
us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful fall day, and Lord, we thank you for the Thanksgiving week coming up. Lord, may we show you how thankful we are for all that you have done for us. Lord, be with all of us this week as we enjoy a time with family and friends. And Lord, may we come back next week to worship you again. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see a lopsided meeting room. If we were on an edge, I guess we'd be more like this. But it is great to see everyone this morning. It's a beautiful weather, no rain, no cold rain. Everyone has power now. It's just a wonderful time to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time here, or if you want to be put on our mailing list, and you have not filled out one of the cards in the pew, please do. We can put you on our email list, put you on our automated call list so that you can get announcements and stay up to date on what's going on here at Center Friends. And as you can see by the size of the bulletin, a lot is going on in the next little bit. Anybody want to touch on the announcements in the bulletin?
FEMAP collection today, and so you might see on your pew that we've already had some people that have generously donated things throughout the month, and so we have just taken those and put them on the pews so that when the youth come out in a little while, if you will just hand those to the kid that comes up to you, and so we'll put them in the basket and kind of gather them, and hopefully this will be an every month thing. We'll focus on a different thing that FEMAP needs. And if you didn't bring anything today, that's fine. You could still bring hooded bath towels or baby washcloths next week and just put them in the FEMAP box in the foyer.
We have a parade work day tomorrow. Be at 4 o'clock here in the children's church room. We're going to do some gathering supplies and things of that nature. It'll be between 4 and whenever people get tired and want to go home. So Amanda Hodgen, Brandy Ward, Holly Lamb, myself, will try to be here to kind of get some things going so we can have our parade float for the Pleasant Garden Parade and also the Random Parade. We hope to have some lights and different kinds of things on that nighttime parade to really make us stand out and get our name out there in the community. Any other announcements?
Tommy, it's in the bulletin, but the Quaker Men Community Breakfast on December 1st, we're making fried apple pies, so we need helpers to make the pies that morning. And generally, we start about 5 o'clock in the morning, but if you can come and help either roll out pies or put the apples in the pies and box them up. So again, if you can help and haven't been asked personally, hope you'll come and help us out that morning.
Fried apple pies, I'll go ahead and order my 36 dozen. beat you to the purchase. One thing Martha Jo reminded me of, you can come anytime after 4 for the work days on the parade. It doesn't have to start right at 4. Just come when you can. We'll find something for you to do. There's some painting, some gluing, some cutting, things of that nature that we need to do. And also, if you look on the third page of your bulletin, the directory is being put together. Martha Jo has put a bulletin board up with the listing. So if you would, go by there, and if everything is correct, just initial next to it. If it needs to be changed, make the proper adjustments on that. And if you want it to be added to it, you can write your information in, or you can email the church and the church secretary, and her email address is on the back page, who to contact. And we can add you to the directory. We would like to have email addresses, so if you do want your email added, you can email myself or Martha Jo, and we can add you to the list to make sure you're getting all the good stuff. Anything else?
Yes, Tommy, I got something. You'll stay up here with me? I'd appreciate it. So, on behalf of ministry and council, we'd like to apologize to Tommy for not recognizing him during October for Pastor Appreciation Moment, a month. You could say maybe we had a senior moment, but actually we were doing a little reorganization and it kind of got overlooked, so we apologize for that, but we're going to try to make up for that a little bit today, okay? So on behalf of the Ministering Council and Center Friends meeting, we would like to express our appreciation to you for your service to us. You've stepped up in a time of need to fill a big role, and we thank you for your presence here. We appreciate your teachings, your time, your love, your energy, and your fresh ideas that you share with us. Some would say that behind every great man is a great woman who supports them. I'm going to say that the Lord provided well for Tommy. So. Caroline's going to help me out on this little part, and I'll do my best to get through it all, but sorry, a little emotional. So we first are going to start out with a little fun thing, and it says, Tommy, we can't send you to the Milky Way or Fifth Avenue in New York on a shopping spree or give you $1,000 or a bigger payday, but we can't express how extra special you are for preaching to a bunch of nerds and airheads. Thank you for the mounds of joy and Snickers you bring to our lives. We love you to pieces and oodles and oodles. Anybody that's ever received a text or message from Whitney will often end with, we love you, oodles. Yeah. And I wasn't done with you, man. Oh. Anyway, I have a couple poems I want to share, one for Tommy and one for Whitney. And so the first one says, to our pastor, with appreciation for your ministry, what we pray for you, guidance for the paths your feet will follow, wisdom for the counsel you were asked to give, compassion for those who are called to help. What we wish for you, strength to stand for what is true and right, even when there is opposition, courage to press on, even when things seem routine, perseverance to follow the desire God has placed upon your heart, even when you doubt. What we give to you, support for your leadership, appreciation for your calling and your gifts, and thanks for the person you are in Christ. God bless you, Tom. Okay, and to our pastor's wife, because I do think they're a pair, they go together. It takes a special person to be a pastor's wife, for it is not an easy task or a simple way of life. The phone often rings at dinner time, vacations they are few. With so many needs in our meeting, there is always lots to do. When people need a helping hand, on you they can depend, for you always try to do your best to be a faithful friend, and that friend has a capital F and a lowercase f. So keep this in a special place so you will always know you're a special gift from God who is appreciated so. God bless you. So it is with love and thanksgiving that we celebrate the two of you. And as a token of our appreciation, we would like to provide you a few nights out on the town. Hope you enjoy them. So let us pray. Dear Father, we come today to thank you for Tommy and for Whitney. We thank them both for their serving at Center Friends and the sacrifices that come with the job. Lord, bless them and keep them as they carry out your work. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, I'm done. I'm spent. Wow. I'm going to set that there and put it in my office. Thank you all so very much. It has been an interesting journey, to say the least, balancing the law enforcement side and the ministry side. Sometimes they don't blend, and then sometimes God blends them perfectly. So it's been an absolute honor to be up here and to answer the call, because he's not done calling us. He's not done with Center Friends. And whether I'm here, or the next person's here, or the next person's here, he's not done with Center Friends. We got a lot more work to do. So thank you very much. At this time, if there are no more announcements, I'll ask for our ushers to come forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift you up and we call your name into blessing. We thank you for the many things, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, all the different healings and blessings and provisions you give us. Lord, I thank you for the servant's heart of this meeting, that we can love one another no matter what, no matter adversity, pain, joy, fun, sunshine, and rain. We love each other. We come together in your name. Lord, we could not do that without gifts from each other. I ask that you take the gifts that are offered in your spirit to sinner friends, and that you give us guidance and you give us understanding on how to use those gifts to take your message into the world. Bless each giver and bless sinner friends for another 2 centuries. In Jesus' name, amen.
What part of Thanksgiving did she talk about? Thanks? Or Thanksgiving? The thanks, that's right. Great memory. So last week, Rhonda talked about Thanksgiving and what we're thankful for, which is very important. And I hope that you'll spend some time this week and throughout the holiday season thinking about things that you're thankful for. But I want to talk about the giving part of Thanksgiving. Okay? So I have a book today that Miss Lamb actually let me borrow. And so I'm going to read it to you. It may be familiar to a lot of you. It's called The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king. And swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. And the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from
But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day, the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy, and she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I am too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. "I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house, but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I am too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. "I am sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone." "My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I am too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb." "I am too tired to climb," said the boy. "I am sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry." "I don't need very much now," said the boy. "Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired." "Well," said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. "Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest." And the boy did. And the tree was happy. The end.
So, from the story,
what did the tree do for the little boy? He gave the little boy everything he wanted. And do you think he did it because he loved the little boy? Yeah, he did it, she did it because she loved the little boy and didn't expect anything in return. And that's how we should give to others, not just at Thanksgiving or during the Christmas season, but we should always give to people who may be in need, which is one of the things we're going to do.
But there's a verse in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7, about giving. It says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And what that means is what I said a second ago, with the tree always giving and expecting nothing in return. We should give because it's the right thing to do and because we want to give and help other people. So, like Ms. Lindsay talked about here in announcements with the hooded baby towels and little baby washcloths, you guys are actually going to go out into the congregation, out into the people, and Adrian and I and Katie can help you with a bag, and you're going to collect the donations that people have this morning for you. So you guys can go ahead and stand up, and order them off, can give you the bag right over there. So adults, if you have things on your on the end of your pews, if you'll just hold them up so that the kids can come and get them, so they'll know to see you.
Thank you.
Now, that's a full wagon. I told Sharon a few minutes ago while they were collecting, whoever got the one call now heard me say, hooded baby bath towels. It took me four tries to say that to where it didn't sound like hooded boo-boo bath, because I blended bath and baby, and it just didn't come out right. But I got it right, the hooded baby bath towels. So what an awesome... an awesome expression of giving, and I think those will definitely be used to help those in need. We're going to our prayer requests and concerns and praises, but I have a praise that I want to have permission to announce. The engagement of Kate Heiss and Kelby Little happened, what day, Kate? November 4th. So they will be getting married sometime, hopefully in 2019, if she doesn't kill him first. Not that Kate would ever do that, but no, we're so excited. On a personal note, to see them two and have been part of their growing in Christ together, and that they're going to make it official. And we're excited to see what God does with you two, because there's definitely work for y'all. Any other praises or prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Tomorrow. At least that's the plan. We'll see how it goes.
It's definitely a praise to see her. I told her anytime she wanted to get up and take off running down the center aisle, it would not hurt my feelings a bit. But where's that happening? Is it home? Okay. So Laura's going to have a pacemaker put in around 10 tomorrow at Cone. Good to see some faces. I know Imogene's been out. It's good to have her here this morning, and I got my big hug from her.
I'm glad they got everything straightened out. It was two medicines that I was on that was throwing me off balance.
So we've got some good praises. Heart arrhythm. I'm sorry?
I said it causing the heart arrhythm. Yeah. So I'm doing better.
Yeah, Imogene was fighting with standing. And without getting put back on her rear end with some dizziness. I'd call her and she'd say, I tried to get up, but I failed today. But it's good to see everybody and good to see everyone here this morning. Any other praises?
Praise and thank the Lord for letting me finish a 5K race at Raleigh's North Carolina Senior Games. so I qualified to go to Albuquerque next summer.
So Mary finished a 5K, and you're going to Albuquerque. Wow. In the rain.
Anybody else in my age group?
That is awesome. First place. That's awesome. If that's not a testament of what God can do throughout your life, getting through a 5K at any age, but we're so glad that you can. I love seeing you speed walk down Davis Mill Road, although I worry about you, but I'm encouraged to see that. My aches and pains mean nothing. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Any other praises? This is a good day.
Praise and a prayer request. Okay. My sister that was in Texas that thought of breast cancer and come out, it was a benign tumor, which they'll keep a watch on that, but everything turned out. And my sister that fell and broke her hip has pneumonia. So things are not looking good for her, so just remember her in prayer.
Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day to have more praises than requests. And we thank you for that. It is through your work and your presence in our lives and those that we are touching that we can stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the praise of Kelby and Kate, and that you're present in their lives, and you're nurturing and maturing that love for each other, but that they do so in your house and with your word. I thank you for allowing me to be part of that presence and to watch them grow and to help us as a meeting continue to love them and support them as they go through this journey. Lord, I thank you for Laura Perdue this morning. I thank you that she is a wonderful sight to see walking down the aisle, coming into God's house. But I lift her up this morning as she goes under the care of a doctor tomorrow to receive a pacemaker. And while doctors can ensure that that's an everyday occurrence, we still want you there, Lord. We want you to place your hand upon her for healing and give her guidance, but also give peace to the doctors. Let them know that they can only go so far, and that you take it from them. We thank you for that family, Lord. I lift up Imogene this morning, and I praise her presence here. Receiving that big hug this morning warmed my soul, and knowing that she's been battling dizziness and heart arrhythmias, and that you were able to guide the doctors to understand that it was medication, and that a slight adjustment made all the difference. Thank you so much for that, Jesus. We thank you for Mary Hamilton, a weighty friend. She's been around here a long time, Lord, and you are such a presence in her life. Her light is so bright. And all the many things that she does for not just Center, but for those outside of Center, the baking of the cookies for the IRC, all the gifts that she provides at the Children's Museum, but the energy that she displays through finishing a 5K. That is a true witness of the Holy Spirit in her life. Lord, I lift up Hilda Shore's family. Thank you for the good results of the benign tumor that was not cancerous. But I lift up her other sister who is battling a broken hip and also pneumonia. Give her time. Give her energy. Give her that drive to get better. Place your word in her heart. Love her and surround her with your spirit. For any unspoken requests here this morning, you know those needs. You know the needs of our world and our country, Lord. Lift up our leaders, our government, that they can do what you want them to do. That all personal opinions are removed and that we do your work with your leadership. We thank you, we love you, we need you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My message this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And it's written, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? No one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner. And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So in this story, we can see that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to be tried and crucified. This is part of Jesus' traveling and his ministry. And this kind of gives us an understanding of where this is in the story. When he was traveling, he was hailed by 10 lepers. Hey, master! From a distance. And while these may seem like small details, they actually do kind of matter. And in this story, when studying it, I had to really pick apart individual words because very, very small things have a big impact. So he was hailed by 10 lepers. Have pity on us. And for those who don't know what leprosy is, it's also now known as Hansen's disease. It's an infection that affects the eyes, the nerves, the skin, the nose, the ears. Symptoms include discolored patches of skin, growths, ulcers, swelling on the face, loss of eyebrows, facial disfigurement, and crippling of the hands and feet. So you can imagine what these lepers look like. And if anybody's ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, they actually do a very good job of representing what lepers look like back in biblical times. And in those days, leprosy was seen as a sin. And therefore, those who had the disease were cast out of society and were banned from the city and being ordered to live alone. Those who were afflicted with leprosy were called unclean. They had to cover themselves in black because society classified them as the walking dead. They were the dead people. As they walked through, they had to yell if they were in the midst of clean people, unclean, unclean. And they had to remain at least 6 feet away from another person. That was the law. The disease at the time was incurable. They didn't have any doctors or anybody to understand medicine to how to cure leprosy. Of course, now it can be cured with medication. If it caught early enough, it can be actually reversed. But here we have Jesus engaging with 10 lepers. He told them to go find a priest. All right, now we pride ourselves on not having to have an intermediary to get to our Jesus. But he tells them to go find a priest. Because the law was for a leper to be declared clean, a priest had to examine you and declare you clean. So as they went, they were cleansed of the disease from the healing power of Jesus. Now one of the 10, a Samaritan, came back healed. And what did he do? He immediately went to praising God, throwing himself at Jesus' feet and thanking him. But Jesus asked an important question. Where are the other nine? I healed 10 of y'all. Where's the rest of them? Now, we don't know what the answer is, and we don't know what the guy told Jesus. But we do know that he released the man saying, your faith has made you well. And the 10 lepers had a few things in common in this story. All 10 recognized Jesus. That's important. Because they called out Jesus, Master. Not Jesus, Stranger. Not Jesus, Teacher. Not Jesus, the crazy man who talked to ghosts. Jesus, Master. So this showed their understanding of the power of what he was and who he was. All 10 recognized their condition. Because it says they stood at a distance, calling in a loud voice, hey! Because they couldn't get to Jesus, number one, and number two, they weren't allowed to get that close to another person. And third thing that's common, all 10 requested help. They asked for pity. But the one who returned was a Samaritan. And this is important because Samaritans were the least of anyone. The Jews hated them. Because they were half Jew and half Gentile. They were a hated race. This was a big no-no for Jews in Jerusalem. You don't deal with Samaritans. You don't mix with Samaritans. You don't talk to Samaritans. You don't look at Samaritans. You don't help them. Ooh, gross, no. And to have a leper Samaritan? That's a double gross. But this one came back. He worshiped Jesus. While most left and never returned, and we know they didn't return, the most rejected was the most thankful. He even acknowledges it because Jesus calls him a foreigner and says, "Where's everybody else? This foreigner showed back up." Why do you think the other nine didn't come back? Well, here's some possible reasons and some commentaries I was looking at of why potentially they didn't come back. Maybe one thought they got better on their own. Oh, it just went away. I just got better. Maybe one thought the priest had something to do with it. Maybe because I was walking to a priest, I was going to be healed. And maybe they thanked the priest instead of connecting it to Jesus. One may have ran home to his family. "Hallelujah, I am healed. I can now see my family." Another one may have wanted to thank him, but became too busy. He had other stuff to do. One could have thought, "I was owed the healing. I was owed the healing." Another may have been partying it up, celebrating. I'm healed. Look at me, celebrating. One may have just wanted to move forward and not look back. That was a part of my life I don't want to have to talk about. I don't want to address it anymore. And maybe the last one didn't want to walk with the Samaritan back to Jesus because he couldn't be seen with a Samaritan. But it was that initial faith of all 10 that got them to Jesus. They were all together and they were calling out, "Master." But it was the continued faith of the Samaritan that brought him back to Jesus. So where did that faith in the other nine go? God hears cries every day from us requesting pity. Do you get the pity you request? Now, I did a little comparison of the lepers of the story and the lepers and believers today. The lepers had a disease that they could not help that was viewed as sin. We have a disease that we cannot help that is viewed as sin. We are fallen when we arrive. We know that from the first book. The lepers try to live right according to the law. We try to live right according to God's law and man's law. And we fail sometimes. The lepers recognize Jesus, calling out, "Master, have pity on us." Believers recognize Jesus, and sometimes we call out, "Master, have pity on us." Jesus healed them at their request. We are healed in God's way, in God's time, with the love of Christ. 9 out of 10 left never to return. Many believers all over the world never recognize Christ's healing in their lives because we're so wrapped up in the here and now. Never to return thanks. Only one came back. The Samaritan fell at Jesus' feet and praised him. Some of us, maybe one in your group, one in your workplace, one in your family, recognized and followed his feet, praising him daily. You know those folks, the real spiritual, the real prayerful folks. Many of you here are like that. We aren't so different from the lepers in the story. We call for help when we receive it. Maybe we don't recognize the healing or the blessing. Maybe we don't return to give proper praise and thanksgiving. Before you were saved, before you started that personal relationship, you were the leper looking for the Master. But it's in that relationship that you were cleansed. It's what you do after that matters. Do you turn into the nine, never to return? Or do you become the 1 out of 10? Now, this sermon has a few points, and I don't want to lose you. I want you to recognize that these fallen people, these lepers, acknowledged who Jesus was, and they were healed. But I want you to really recognize that Samaritan. I want you to reflect, and as a dear friend says, check yourself to see if you were 1 of the 10 lepers. Now, as a believer, God is working in your life. There is absolutely no doubt about that. I can't say that with any more certainty than me standing here breathing. God is working in your life. The Holy Spirit is in your life. He's reaching to you where you are. We were unclean, but we were atoned. Our sin was taken away on the cross. Maybe you've been an outcast at one time in your life, felt alone, felt dirty, sad, homeless. We have a living example in Christ and in our faith that we can be healed and joyful and happy and living in the light. But it's our responsibility to return to Him, giving thanks and praise. So maybe you're thinking, okay, I do that. I wake up in the morning and thank God that my feet are hitting that cold floor. And I thank Him for the sunshine, and I thank Him for being able to get my car started on a cold morning. And I thank Him for not putting a wreck on 220 so I can get to work on time. Or that I've got food on the table. Or that I've got a Bible to read. What do you think that one Samaritan did after he was told to rise and go? My guess is he went and told everyone, "You're not going to believe what happened. Jesus healed me. Let me tell you about Him." Maybe He led others to Christ. Maybe He healed others. Just by His blessing, just by His presence and His story of God being in Him, maybe lifted up another person. Maybe He walked into a leper colony and said, "Come and let me show you to this guy. You're going to really want to meet him." I would not be a good Quaker and a good pastor if I didn't give you some type of discipleship opportunity. Can you think of a population of people that we consider Samaritan lepers in our current society? There's a group of people who we see, but sometimes we refuse to acknowledge. Maybe we don't make eye contact. Maybe we stay 6 feet away. Maybe if they don't say anything to me, I don't have to acknowledge their existence. I did a little research and found out there are 553,742 homeless people in our country today. 8,962 right here in North Carolina. On a given night, 573 homeless people in this county alone. We're the second largest county of homeless population in the state. We have a colony of Samaritans needing the healing of Jesus Christ. But how do they do that? The weather's getting colder. They're going to be facing a lot more tougher struggles than just trying to find maybe something to eat. It's going to be cold. I want us to recognize that God has done so many good things for us that we can be that 1 out of 10 to go out and tell others. Homeless families, individuals, elderly, veterans, addicts, children, young girls, runaways, those being kidnapped. They're in our society and we label them lepers. We label them people that are unclean. Many of them are seeking the Master, asking for pity. And it's through that movement, it's through that cleansing of us that we can go out and then be servants of others. Jesus tells in Matthew 25, the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." As believers, we can recognize that we were once outcasts, but as we are consumed in the light of Christ, we become clean. I leave you with this final thought as we go through Thanksgiving and into Christmas. Are you one of the 9 too busy or too blind to give thanks to Christ for His redeeming love for you and for me, and for Him and her and them and those people? Are you the one Samaritan who recognizes what you've received, praising His holy name, and giving thanks? And if so, are you willing to pass that gift onto another outcast in your community? Because as Christ ended the message to this leper, he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you, Tommy. At the Rise of Worship today, we invite everyone to join us in the Fellowship Hall for the annual Thanksgiving carry-in meal. We'd love to have everyone there. If we could all close our worship today by standing and singing hymn number 387, "We Gather Together," verses 1 and 2.
Blessings you provide us. Break our hearts so that we can go out and take our cleansing power of you into the world and help those who we deem unclean, Lord. Help them find the Master. Help us reach them where they are with the message of the gospel. As we partake in a bread breaking, Lord, help us enjoy that in your name, in your Holy Spirit. Fill that place. Bless the food, bless those who prepared it, and bless those who are partaking, that we can be of service to your kingdom. For it's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.